Hello, welcome to another edition of Open All Hours. But these are going to be once in a while. We're going to do a kind of a side hustle of Open All Hours, which is called the QPR History Hit, which has got nothing to do with that dance. No one can't sue me. So today I'm joined by three other QPR fans. Obviously, the most interesting conversation will be today when we were actually formed, because I can't even get that right. But anyway, Dave Robinson is here. Hello, Dave, you alright? We've got Martin Percival.
Hello, Paul. You're delighted that I'm here, aren't you?
Over the moon. Especially after Northern Ireland beating Scotland the other day.
Of course, yeah.
Wasn't going to talk about that. And we've got club historian, QPR. There has to be a legend amongst us.
Nerd.
Yes, nerd, that's it. I was going to use legend, but I think
that's more like it.
Should we let Dave Robinson be the legend, because he likes that
sort of
thing?
Yeah, he's a legend, definitely.
So you could be the club historian, and would you say you were nerdish? I would probably say you were.
A little bit of both. I've done a bit, you know, a bit of the protesting and a bit of the nerd side, so I've done a bit of both.
An angry nerd.
In both camps.
Yeah.
An angry nerd. Do you realise, I saw the other day, it's the anniversary of the Thompson protests.
Yeah, 30 years.
I remember that.
Yeah,
and then we had the protests about the merger of Wimbledon.
Yeah, we love it.
Then there was also the anniversary of the Fulham Park Rangers protest.
Right. Yeah.
Bad things always happen to us in March.
February, March. Yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah. And we won't mention anything that happens at Wembley in them times either.
No, not at all. Especially the 4th of March 1967. Won't mention that.
That's a good one. I can think of another one that wasn't so good. So listen, we're going to kick it off with the conversation that everyone always slaughters me for. When was QPR actually formed? I say 1886. I'm going to look at Chris Guy, club historian, who has to be careful because he writes for the programme. Yeah. When were we formed, Chris?
Is this off the record or on?
No one listens to our podcast, Chris, just a few thousand every week. I reckon you'll get away with it.
Well, I'm a bit aligned really. My predecessor, Gordon, really. The 1882 Christchurch Rangers, 1884 St Jude's Institute, and then obviously 1886 we became Queen's Park Rangers. To be even more controversial, we had an apostrophe then, but that sort of went missing.
I knew that was going to come up.
The apostrophe, I mean, even from my dyslexic self, we were going to mention further on down the line, so let's just clear the year up first. So, my memory is
2011, we did the 125th anniversary with the plaque, so yeah. I'm sort of aligned with that, really. So, that, you know, like the
2011.
Going back to the beginning, that. Christchurch Rangers 1882, 1884 St Jude's, and we sort of 1886 then became Queen's Park Rangers.
You've got to remember, we've got a club in Norwich back then, so when myself and Gordon were doing the research behind them, we stumbled across some significant evidence at the local library as well. We had manuscripts and everything else back there, which is in there. And that was acknowledged by the club as well.
Peter Lupson as well did a great research on it.
Fantastic work by Peter. He'd done a lot of work with, I think it was 12 clubs in total that were formed from parishes.
Yeah.
And he's researched back this up as well. So it was acknowledged by the club at the time. Obviously, with when you've got 1882, you've splashed over a lot of merchandise and that, so it was hard to change it around.
Mm.
Yeah, that was, as Chris was saying, 1882 was Christchurch Rangers. Part of the team, players were based in 1884 St Jude's Institute, and then they combined in 1886 on the Queen's Park Rangers with an apostrophe, as it shows on the plaque.
As I'm the younger one here, 54, that's terrible, isn't it?
I'm younger than you, mate.
Are you?
Yeah, by a year.
Gobshite. So, anyways, I've had this argument before, and I remember, I could be wrong, Martin, I'm going to look at Martin.
I'm the youngest.
Oh yeah, Dave's the youngest.
I thought so, yeah.
The second oldest, just realised.
Paul actually asked me, he said, "Dad, you look so young, Dave." And my simple answer was drinking the rat stuff, which all three of us are doing right now.
It's incredible, isn't it? We're on the Guinness and Paul
Wilson. I'm the only Irish man that can't drink. Actually, I'm sure there's many more celiacs that can't drink the damn thing. Anyway, the where I was going with that was, because my memory is Jim Gregory did it for the 82 Cup final because he thought he could make some more money out of it. Now, that's a very cynical view, Martin, but what do you think?
And also, Paul, during the 70s, there was an article in the programme in which one of the old directors actually stated 1882 is our centre. Might have been George, yeah, because he was a friend of his that suggested the merging of the clubs originally.
Yeah.
So it sort of goes back pre. Jim Gregory gets a lot of the blame for this 1982, you know, cashing in on the cup final centenary. But okay. It's not all down to Jim.
Yeah. No. Not that Jim would ever do anything like that.
No, slippery Jim.
And if you'd have got in to see Jim to put it to him, I'm sure he would have got a shotgun out and told you.
Yeah. I've got to say, how apt that was. We've talked about Jim Gregory when we've got arguably one of the biggest West London rivals we're talking about, just above our area.
Half a daily, the legend. Exactly. Yeah.
Mention where we are, Paul.
Who's
drinks going on the slate?
Who's doing this terrible podcast? Me or you, Martin? don't come here, and don't come here, Dave, making jokes. It's my job to do jokes. And Chris, you can just bring your nerdiness. It's great. Okay. Now, we are sitting under Arthur. We are actually decrying the scepter now. It's weird because before the current scepter got trendy again, it did go for a few years without being a QPR pub event. It wasn't even mentioned. Yeah. And then it came back a few years ago. But that was quite sad as well, because it was the pub back in the day that we're in now. So
it was, yeah. Players
with
pulling
two
pints.
Bars, players pulling pints, yeah.
When did they pull pints?
82 cup final, 82 Tony Curry, was
final,
it?
And after the Leeds match in 76 as well.
Yeah.
Happened at least 20 occasions the players pulled
also
pints.
Also featured in Boys from the Bush 1991,
the legendary
BBC, Reg Toomer.
Good old Reg Toomer.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
good old Reg.
But there used to be
great series.
Two bars, and one of the bars had a canopy over it, which was full of old Rangers memorabilia, so pennants and badges and posters and everything. It was amazing. But in those days, it was a real sort of spit and sawdust type.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah,
because I came in the mid to late 80s, so I just got the end of it. But it was a great. It was always a great atmosphere in here.
Yeah,
it was
my favourite Rangers
club. Jim Arnott, I think, was the landlord, and he was a Rangers fan. Sure, yeah. But he knew how to make money. He also advertised in Chelsea magazines to come to the ground, etc. as well. So,
why would you do that?
Well, trading it, Paul.
No swearing on this podcast.
Yeah, you're not allowed to do that. Now, just as a recap onto this history, because everyone's come here making notes, and me and Dave have decided that's a real waste of time. We're just going to talk rubbish, which is what I am, and not my Dave. Dave, a couple of years ago, we went to Liverpool, didn't we?
Yeah.
And it was because we were mentioned in the book. People don't realise the religious link to QPR, do they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's it.
So, can you explain to anyone?
Me, you, and Steve Russell and
Adam,
wasn't it?
Yeah.
We went up there. Yeah, no, it was. Well, obviously, myself and Gordon were doing a bit of research anyway on the numerous stuff with the club, and Peter Lapson got in touch with us. He'd done a lot of work with other clubs around the country, so we invited him down. Obviously, we had meetings with him initially, and he provided information which backed up our research as well, and the rest is history, obviously, in terms of going down to St Jude's Hall and valuing of the plaque at the time. He's got DVDs and obviously books he's released, but a lot of the clubs back in the day were performed by local churches, parishes. Mm-hmm. It was just a lot of boys would play for the church teams, and that's how we generally start. So a lot of the first team players would be 15, 16, 17 at the time, and that's how a lot of clubs were formed from local parishes and just built from that.
So it would have been like a church hall team.
It was you look at St Jude's Hall now as it is.
My mum lived across the road, as you know.
Yeah, the St Jude's Church, if you remember. I mean, you're from that manor anyway, but that was an answer for sure.
With a funny accent, like, but yeah.
and we were led to believe first that was the birthplace, which we thought, I think it's in the very first.
Yeah, I think it was me that told you, but no.
Gordon Macy, I think, put in his very first book about the answer for the church. And then we stumbled across that, went down to the library down bottom.
Wouldn't take my word for it. Had to check it out. Only because Mum lived beside that library, if you remember,
Dave. Dave's a professional researcher. He's going to do it properly.
Because George Mousel.
He does most of his research.
Yeah.
I think, just for the record, dear listeners, Dave does most of his research in the pub, like myself, as it should be done. No, I remember that because. But I do remember that because I remember the hall. It was like, you know, don't do it. It was at the hall, there was a church, we decided, and we knew it was a hall. And that's another thing that annoys about our history, Dave. You know, us as fans have had to do this. Can you imagine the clubs having to do all this, argue about the year they were formed, argue about where they were formed? What was it? It is such a strange QPR thing.
All the grounds we've had.
All the grounds, yeah. At the time, it linked them with
obviously setting up the stadium tours at the time. So
that's right.
I was going around to different clubs, Arsenal, Everton, Tottenham, to name a few. Up to Old Trafford, there was quite a few. That, I mean, going off the off track here, Arsenal by far for me, best club in the country in terms of scoring.
I would dispute that. I think Everton personally.
I'm going back to obviously when from Highbury, what they've done at Highbury.
Yes, yes.
He's second to none. And a lot of the stuff in the new museum is unbelievable the way they've maintained a lot of this stuff. Certain clubs have done certain things, you know, Middlesbrough got the original gates from Leicester Park.
Mm,
and
that's right, yeah.
Everton, as you say, are probably the best for the players.
And their archive is superb as well.
Exactly. Portsmouth are very good as well.
Portsmouth are good.
Yeah.
Talking about Everton, that's on the bucket list. We need to get up to Goodison before that goes. It's a sad day when that plays.
Yeah, great ground.
It sort of linked in that sort of period of time of everyone sort of contributing. We had the steering board meetings. I can't remember. I think Joey Wilton and there's quite a few of the lads that used to join in and take part in that.
Right.
I was just trying to get as many people around the table as possible that had the knowledge to contribute to. Just trying to. Yeah.
Got a fabulous knowledge within the fan base. Like I've said about the role I do, it's not me.
Yeah.
Such knowledge out there, and everyone's so helpful and got input.
In that era, Dave, I mean, that was not a popular thing to do. I mean, the owners weren't interested, were they?
Exactly.
It was challenging, to say the least, and I mean, purely because obviously football, the modern game's a business, and you've got poor money in it. Looking into your history, ain't really doing it. So.
But see, this is something I've always argued about in the podcast, is that when I mention older things, but people aren't interested in the history, and I think people should be. Mm. Because how do you know anything about what you love and support if you don't know the roots and the tree that grew from the seeds of St Jude's in Christ?
I agree with you, Paul. And I think also everybody's different. I know some youngsters who love history and others who hate it.
Exactly,
It's like Steve Bacon, who most of you know. I mean, Steve's family all ranges back to before World War One. Steve always tells me he hated history at school. No interest in history at all. QPR history is another matter.
It's a weird one, isn't it? Now, there's another thing I want to clear up as well. Anyone can of you three can answer it. It's always bugged me. Is it true that Tottenham stole our league place?
Well, that's it. Martin Beattie's the
Martin
man for
Beattie's
that.
The man
He's
for that. Yeah, he did some research into that.
I think you need the next podcast. I think maybe Paul could be Martin Beattie talking about that.
Yeah.
No, it was the 1911?
Yeah, it wasn't necessarily.
It was pre-World War One, wasn't it?
I think we've had a grudge against Tottenham for too many years. It weren't exactly. I think we were quite as guilty.
You probably were.
Okay, so that's another thing we can sort of.
It's a good theme to look at.
It's a good theme.
It's an interesting one, isn't
it? It's fascinating, the story. Yeah. Martin done a great job with that.
But funny enough, my dad. Who would have heard the story from his dad, because his dad was a Rangers fan from about 1895. He did have a grudge against Tottenham because of that. So we have been bearing a grudge.
Mine only goes back 40 years since Wembley.
It actually goes back over 100 years, the Tottenham grudge.
That's interesting, that.
Yeah.
So what other historic things do you think people should know about when we're doing these podcasts in the future? We should probably do three or four
Jimmy
seasons.
Jimmy Birch, George Goddard, Brian Bedford, all the great goal scorers.
Tommy Cheatham.
I mean, Reg Allen the other day, it was the anniversary of his passing in 1976, the story of Reg is incredible, what he went through.
I think we should do a podcast on that alone, but what I'm reaching out for other people who've got an interest, Martin Beattie, who wanted to come into a podcast one day and pick a theme, we're happy to talk about it, because that'd be a good way of doing it.
It would be.
Because it's something we can celebrate without being blasé, because the good thing about being a QPR fan, Dave, Martin, and Mr. Nerdy here will know, is that for every hill we climb, we get kicked down the other side.
Yes.
So every League Cup final,
there's always a sliding doors moment.
There's no League Cup final. Didn't go.
That's exactly what I've said. In our history, if you go back like right from the beginning, there's like a high and something that happened that bring us down again. We can never. We're QPR, we can never have something good for too long. We've got to have that little.
No.
But that's what you know.
You look at the Terry Venables era, and then as soon as Terry left,
we end up
Alan
Mullery.
Downhill.
Exactly, that's exactly what it
that
is.
That could be. I might do a feature one day with the Bill Greer playing episode.
Get Mr. Stainrod on.
He's threatened guest of honour as well tomorrow.
Great news,
He's in the Forever Ours bar before the game. Yeah.
Absolute legend of a man. Yeah. Right, let's just get a few myths out of the way so we can clear these up. Why did we first play in green and white hoops? Does anyone know?
Well, the theory is, I think it was the Athletic News in 1906, there was a story in there that said that E.D. Robertson, who moved down from Glasgow to live like in the Queen's Park area. He brought the green and white stripes at the time into being, as obviously from Glasgow, based on Celtic. That's one theory. But that's sort of something that's been found out in more recent times, whereas before it was...
But we don't have the hoops before Celtic.
I think we had the hoops before Celtic, but we had green and white stripes that were based on Celtic stripes. Celtic had stripes. I think Celtic had it.
Got you.
Celtic went to green and white hoops in 1906.
Right.
And I think it's 1892 we moved from the Oxford and Cambridge dark blue
quarters
to the green and white hoops.
I wonder why we did that then. That's an interesting move.
Yes. I think there was a game against Paddington. The Paddington had a lot of players who, after the proposed merger, if you can call it that, that they moved and set up a rival team called Paddington and didn't want to be part of the Queen's Park Rangers.
Beef.
And so that this team, Paddington...
Like Rangers history, isn't
it? Yeah, so we had a rivalry with Paddington, but Paddington also wore a similar kit.
With that Westbourne Park as well.
Yeah, so there's a theory...
So there's a theory
that we wore green and white hoops, like, based on... We moved to green and white hoops based on that, but... It's like anything with history, there's different
bits.
And so how do we then move on to what we know now? Is it, I know what colours we play in, Martin, but thank you, yes.
1926, blue and white hoops, yeah.
No, sometimes I do that myself, to be perfect. What's up, mate? Set to the microphone.
Yeah, 1926, it was deemed like we'd applied for re-election on a few occasions.
Lost to Aberdeen Athletic.
Exactly, yes. It was deemed that green and white hoops were then unlucky in 1926. So at a football league meeting on, I think it's the 5th of June 1926, we requested at a league meeting that we can change our colours to blue and white hoops. So obviously 1926, the league agreed to it, and for a period, obviously from 1926 to the 50s, we wore blue and white hoops. Period in the 50s where we changed it, we wore a lot of white.
What was that about? It was silk as well, wasn't it?
Silk, yeah. We had like floodlight matches were in vogue at the time against Arsenal.
TV cameras.
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
There's one at the reception now.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Lovely shirt.
That was the Hammersmith badge one, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
So even then,
that's TV controversial as well.
That's controversial. A lot of people at the time didn't like the Hammersmith badge. They was like, what have we got to do with Hammersmith? We're Queen's
really?
Park. Oh yeah, they didn't like it.
I love the Hammersmith badge.
Yeah. Loftus Road in those days was like, you know, Johnny Come Lately. That was new for some of the old fans.
Boys
from the Park Royal and from Latimer Road and Queen's Park Estate. They didn't like the Hammersmith badge.
Have we ever done anything that everyone's agreed on?
No.
Never happened.
It's impossible. Impossible, Paul.
So this is interesting. So, I didn't know about... I'll be honest, I don't...
We love a civil war.
I didn't know about...
the best time of war, that is.
I didn't know about the beef of Paddington. That's new to me.
Nothing's new. That's where the fan base is still to this day. It's still fracking.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you usually find it out in cup finals.
It's a territorial thing.
Yeah.
You know, you should be able to go down White Sea Poles.
No.
We go through White Sea Poles on a Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah.
We go down there.
Punch-ups with Rebel Grove were regular.
We chase the ass off the road.
We're all fans.
Yeah, and then the Saturday you're shaking hands. And
amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
The madness. So does any going back to the white silk, because I did actually like that, but it wasn't really very QPR as
we don't know.
Like the iconic blue and white hoops. I mean, if you show a picture of Stan, God bless him, to anyone, they're just going to say QPR. That's what we're known as. What was our first away colours, does anyone know?
I assume it was
red and white.
Yeah,
so it would have been red and white.
Yeah, red top, white shorts, red socks.
Yeah, that's
what the
fairly
standard
away kit, wasn't it, for a long time.
Yeah, for quite a even up to the 70s where we obviously had a few variations of quarters, halves.
The first time I saw Rangers away kit was December 71, and it was away at Carlisle, and Rangers were wearing definitely red shirts, I think black shorts that day, and red socks, and Rodney scored two goals, and some non-entity called Stan Bowles scored for Carlisle that day.
How weird is that? The king and the
newly appointed king.
Well, I always think Stan was the king anyway, but that's my personal opinion.
Yeah,
something that upset Rodney, but
that's
hey,
that's why I make sure I say arguably, because you've got the Rodney camp and depending on you.
I love the most loved player.
That's the best way to sort of put it, really. Whereas my hero as a child's coming back tomorrow, Simon Stainwood.
That's an interesting one, because we're all different. I mean, mine was Gary Bannister. Clearly.
Yeah, I love Gary.
Alan McDonald for selfish reasons, because without him, I wouldn't support QPR.
Mm.
Yeah.
All the players over the years, yeah. He's one I met.
So that would have been a boyhood hero.
He was also wild, yeah. Especially banging athletes in his shorts.
Oh, he was that happy day.
He's someone, obviously, forever ours. So obviously, it's a lot of work in progress. We're really keen to get him back, but obviously,
good luck.
Everyone has different.
That's all I can say to you. Good luck. We've been trying to get him for years.
Hopefully, we can get make that
challenging.
I don't think he knows how loved he is, and I think maybe he's just shyer than what we realised. And
yes.
These things happen, but I hope he does come back because I think it'd be nice. Because the trouble with him is we never got a chance to say goodbye to him like so many players.
No,
they come in. That's why I like it when Ian Stewart came back. The Lowick and all
bit
like
nice,
that.
Wasn't
we had that occasion at Coventry away, 87-88. It was the last game of the season. We played Coventry. Gary had obviously signed for Coventry earlier that season, and every time he got the ball, we were just cheering and singing his name. Yes. And sort of what a memorable occasion, wasn't it?
Yeah, I remember when he came back to the Bush for playing for Forest as well.
Yeah, he scored, didn't he?
Yeah, so he got a good reception that day.
The game I missed.
He should never get a bad reception.
He was a lovely, lovely, lovely player.
It was, you know, let's face it, he should have played for England. I mean, you can say about all QPR players, but the fact they play for us probably killed their England
careers. I mean, I'm amazed Simon Stainlord never played for England. John Gregory played for England, Simon Stainlord didn't. It's incredible, really.
He went on the South American tour in 84, didn't he?
But he never got selected.
No. Clive Allen played.
Right.
Strange.
He's good bloke. He's down to the States tomorrow. There was good evening at Bushall, wasn't it? A couple of years back.
Brilliant, yeah.
Dodgy compare.
Great compare.
Very,
very brilliant.
You know, from what I heard, you're very good because I was supposed to go, I couldn't make it because, as usual, I double booked myself at work and doing that. And I think you did a far better job than I could have done because I didn't have the knowledge that you had. So that's why it was passed on to
you. What you don't know, I was in York the night you rang me and you asked me if I'd be prepared to do it. And I was like, it's in 10 days' time, Paul. And you were like, oh, you'll be fine. You'll be all right.
And I haven't changed.
No, exactly.
I never will. It's like the podcast. It's all done in a hoop. Now, listen, is there anything that young people should know about QPR that want to use each of you? I'm going to stop you, Dave. You think they should know about the club's history that you think, oh, maybe people aren't aware of this?
It's an odd one, isn't it? Because
of
modern day football. You've got all this TV on the sky, and most of the kids these days, they're just obsessed with playing TV. So fashion, isn't it?
Or even Real Madrid.
Yeah,
Paris Saint-Germain.
So, and ultimately, we're winning, we're driven into them. They ain't doing that on the computers. It's just hard to, this goes back to what we're saying about history. So for me personally, wherever I am or wherever anything else, I would just support. Queen's Park Rangers. I don't think it was Queen's Park Rangers.
The Rangers,
the ours.
I do,
And you could be anywhere. I went to Thailand before and they showed where they were for a member. So for a club who traditionally probably ranked 31st in the country out of 92, statistically with honours, not a massive club. So we have to go back to our roots and the history. So anything we can claim or promote, we do. And it's the same, I go back to where I was born a mile from the ground, I grew up a mile from the ground. Growing up as a kid, a sense of pride and belonging was massive, and it's very hard to replicate these days. I find
Got pride in the area as well,
isn't it? Such a different
different
now.
But most people moved out as well, which doesn't help.
I've moved out, but I still love this area. Just coming back here, it's
I moved out flipping 20 odd years ago.
I'll go back to, we talked about again the other week where promotion, when we had the open top bus around Bush
2004,
and that was unbelievable.
It was a great day,
that trip to Hillsborough, what a day that was, but to come back and see. Yeah, around the Bush, like, was that every pub, every window.
That's a good point, though.
And there was no animosity.
No,
there
brilliant.
Fantastic you always get a few idiots that were like where Chelsea and Arsenal. Or just it wasn't. It just seemed like it was blue and white everywhere you went.
Do you know what I always describe that, Dave?
They're things that we remember.
Yeah.
But others wouldn't. You know,
I always describe that moment as the darkness being pushed
lifted,
and just a lovely
gone from
bit
from the
of
buckets
light.
Administration
to the town hall
Foxhall Motors to that
but again it was something that the fans drove as well, that whole thing wouldn't happen without
it's
the
all
fans.
Organic, that's what I feel about Queen's Park Rangers, safe standing. Fan organised.
Absolutely. The flags.
There's no pre-planned any of this Crystal, you know, you get Crystal Palace. They do a good job, but with us, it's organic from the heart.
Good job to not get your nerves, though.
It's brilliant.
What's that? Risks and balls.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it gets on my nerves.
People go to football and join themselves. This annoys me. It was supposed to be miserable.
That's not what it's for.
No, it's never the same. But Dave, that's a good point you just made, actually, in all honesty, is that, you know, people do need to know the history. They do need to know because we need to know these things about the club, and this is what we're going to do with these series of things we're going to do. Even doing this now, I'm thinking let's do some more. So I think the next one we're going to do on grounds, I think that'll be a good one. And we'll come down and we'll all talk about the grounds, because I mean, people talk, I mean, 13's unlucky.
We never mentioned Barn Elms.
We've had 11.
We didn't mention Barn Elms.
We've had 11 permanent and 3 like temporary where we played at other.
So that's 14 then. I always thought it was 13.
Yes, it's all
even
like
the numbers disputable.
Isn't it? It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, you can never. You're always researching it because there's something else that come out, and there's so many great researers on our club.
History's never finished.
No, it's never finished. It's some great, you know, like
Lars
does a great job as well, and like Steve Russell, Indy Ars, all these people do such a great job, you know.
Yeah, it's true. It's a very, very good point. Steve, of course, is like, Steve's always been. That's how I got into history, was talking through Steve Russell, and hopefully this isn't the podcast. More people like Steve, the more we get things written down, and the archives, because you yourself, Dave, have gone down to read about things that have only been in libraries and stuff. Yeah. And have you got yourself confused sometimes by going into libraries and thinking, I'll never do that?
To be fair, yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't think I would have at the time, just when Gordon at the time was obviously was our club historian, and he was a massive, a lot of stuff.
And he would have still been working at that time.
But it wasn't just Gordon, I mean, like I said, we had that steering group meeting. Yourself, Martin, were part of it, amongst others as well, so everyone contributed towards it. And like I say, obviously, God bless his soul, when he passed away, for all that hard work that's been built up over the years, and you wonder where we go as a club.
Mm.
And I've said, I'm not saying because he's sitting across the table from me now, but he couldn't have been on better to do to Gordon's shoes, you know what I mean? The amount of work he's got is
so unreal. You're talking about you, Paul.
Oh, no, that's Chris. Yeah, but you're a very unassuming person as well, Chris, and I think that's a great way to be when you're doing it, because people might not even know. I bet you there's people who sit around you don't know you're the club historian.
I imagine so, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Until you're beginning to be recognised though, aren't you? I don't know if that's a good thing necessarily.
Oh, yeah?
To be honest, it is like, I'm not just saying this, it is a group effort. So,
it's
like,
a team.
You three have done
really
a great job.
It's you in it. It's you.
I can mention that. It's not. I can mention.
Piss them off. Go on.
There's loads of fans
out there. Start another civil war. We're good at that.
There's loads of fans out there. Have been a massive help to me. People in the club.
You could be the unofficial club historian. We could start a whole fight again.
I could be the splinter group.
Yeah.
Splinter group. Yeah, you could start that.
You could be the loyal supporters of a club historian.
Like the LSA.
Yes.
The alternative historian.
Exactly, and Dave could just be saying that club, we all just love each other. Sorry, Chris, carry on.
Massive hugging.
Yeah.
No, so it's like a group effort, you know, some great people outside the club, inside the club, everyone. Like Dave, I ain't blown smoke up his arse, but he done a superb job with Gordon, you know.
Well, the tour is for
all the stuff he brought, you know, the Pied Piper music back.
That's right.
Which was our music in the 70s.
Yeah,
it's so good to see you and all that.
It was brilliant, nice touch, wasn't it?
Was that the end of game or half time?
That was
half time.
Lovely touch.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought the club did very well.
Chris texted me as I was texting him. He took me just before and after.
Yeah.
I was up
and
off to see where he was
in
South Africa
and
literally
sort of
what a night that was.
Yeah, it was great.
So you trying to? I have just realised, Dave, during the making of this podcast, you've just outed yourself as a nerd.
I'm a nerd. Everyone knows we deep down like I'm a nerd.
We've all got a bit of nerd inside us.
Everything else is a facade.
Thank you for coming.
It's all showing it, Dave, really.
Thank you for coming on this podcast.
Exactly, we're only drinking it for your benefit, Paul.
Yeah.
Seriously. The next person doing that is this. Red, before we go, so just let these listeners know if they're still here. Bless them. We're going to do grounds, players, kits, all sorts of them. So if anyone wants to come in and talk about it, please do. Or if anyone's got any memorabilia want to bring with memorabilia, Paul. Memorabilia. They can
bring. That's worth the upcoming event.
Definitely.
Touch on that.
Go on then, Martin, you go ahead.
That's why I lined it up for you, Martin. It's called being professional.
That's amazing, Paul. Yeah. That's amazing.
Superb, isn't it?
Shut up.
Sunday the 21st of April in the Forever Arms Bar in the Lower Loftus Road stand. So starting at 10:30, we've got the first club and memorabilia, programme of memorabilia fair since May 1986, would you believe?
Wow.
So it's practically the first one in living memory for some people. And
which Martin, is as our memory goes.
Exactly. But people like Martin Botwright, who organised the last one, coincidentally, he's been a great help, as have many others. Michael Wells coming along, he's going to draw the raffle tickets. Alan Dean, Dean's who wrote the book One Shilling. Yeah. On the history of club programs.
Yeah, with a picture of a QPR program centre on the front.
Centre on the front cover of the book. Alan's coming along. I've just spoken to him, Chris, which is great.
I might come just myself.
It'll be a good night.
Yeah, nice community event as well. Yeah.
When is it again, Martin?
Sunday the 21st of April, starting at 10:30. Admission is the same price as in 1986, £1.
Cash only.
Cash only. Bring your readies.
Not half a daily.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
a ducking and diving.
I think Francis in the club shop is looking to add some of those cards out. You know, he's done the program cover.
Andy Evans is going to have a table. Well. Yeah.
So,
and we've got three authors. Ray Eaton's going to be along.
Francis Peacock. Yeah.
And Alan Dean, the One Shilling program book, and also 10 Dealers.
Lovely.
So it should be hopefully a good day.
I will be popping down myself. Excellent. And I might learn something. But just to let everyone know, this podcast will get better. I will shut up more and let other people speak about facts. I will not hog it up by trying to be funny. And
Guinness.
I can't drink. You do not want to be near me if I drink Guinness. Trust me. Your nose will never be the same again. Any Celex listen? You hear me. Listen, Dave, thank you.
Absolute pleasure.
Martin, I'll go on. Martin, you want
to
say?
I'd just like to say cheers to Peter Kingham. Sorry to see Peter go.
Yeah, I agree.
He was at the away game at Sunderland very recently. None of us know how long we've got, but Peter and Trevor were legendary fans. They really were.
You could argue without them, we wouldn't still have a club.
Possibly, I agree. And they were great, great characters. So, cheers, Peter.
It's been far too many in the recent
time. Yeah. Unfortunately, there'll be a lot more, Dave. Yeah. That's just how life is.
Speedy recovery to Alan Barnes.
Alan Barnes as well, absolutely. Definitely.
Yeah.
And there's something that's in a lot of history. We mentioned Peter in the podcast, and I forgot to mention his brother Trevor as well, which is sad.
Yeah.
Because I remember them bollocking me once. Because,
surely not.
I was supposed to go to Coventry. In the coach, and in the I slept in and had to get my brother-in-law at the time, my sister's girlfriend, to drive me there. He had no interest in going to Coventry that day at all, and then I bumped into him like, "You're Paul Finney, why don't you talk to the coach?" I slept in. That's not a good enough reason. And
that sounds like Trevor to me. Yeah, that was Trevor.
Yeah, and I was like, "Well, I didn't mean to." He's like, "Well, I didn't mean you'd already left." You know? Anyway, so it is sad because you know. Maybe that's one thing we will focus on one day as well. We'll do like a whole thing in the LSA and the mergers we've had, because we must be the most talked about merge club ever. And yet we've
Brentford 1967, obviously they've got their side of the story, we've got ours.
But our side's true.
And obviously their PA,
we need to lie.
Their PA announcer, Peter
Kinnear from whatever he's
called. He seems to have it. He won't even mention our name, but we'll leave that, you know.
But do you know what they also do? If you don't know if you notice this, Dave, you'll notice this as well. Because you two were nerds. I don't know if you know as well. They always spell our name wrong slightly in the programme as well. It'd be like Queen's Park.
They always did that in the pre-season friendlies, like,
That's pathetic, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, the story I've heard, oh, God, see, it's sort of a little historic thing. Honestly, listeners, we will let you go meet your tea in a minute. is that they approached us.
Yeah.
And Brentford fans don't want to hear that, but it's true.
To be fair to Brentford, actually,
Jack Dunnett, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Jack Dunnett, who was an MP.
That's a terrible name.
He was their chairman at the time and the owner, effectively. And to be fair to Brentford, actually, this actually did go out on their official club website not that many years ago, but all the fans choose to ignore it because of Mr. Gillam.
Yeah.
His issue is clearly he's not right in the head. And I can say that in the podcast. No, because he stirs it up. I mean, if you're going to work for Brentford, just remember one thing. We've been to Europe.
Twice.
Yes. And also, I remember years ago, I think I told you this, Dave, and you, Martin, I'm never sick of telling, when I first came over here from, when I first got off the boat, literally.
The wind rush.
More like the flipping Ulster Fry rush. And I came off, I got chased by Brentford fans. There's no word of a lie, right?
Really?
I got in the King's
Cup. How do you find them?
Well, this is it. So come back. Because I was being chased by them, and I was awful thinking, like, and then one of them was like, sort of, he kind of cornered me a bit, and I was like, what the fuck is your problem?
Yeah.
You're a Stoke fan.
And that one. Oh, bet that went down well.
And he was like, what? I goes, you're Stoke, aren't you? Yeah. He goes, fucking Brentford, we hit QPR. And it's like, oh, that's nice. I goes, to be honest, I've only got off the boat. I didn't realise it was a rivalry. What division are you in again? I did have an inkling, but it was very funny.
Yeah.
And he didn't like that. So I don't blame them for hitting people like me, but I've always found them like an interesting club. My hitter is always going to be Chelsea, but I know some is Brentford, some is Fulham, as the years have gone on.
It'll always be Chelsea, no one else.
Chelsea, I think. I mean, I've got nothing against Brentford or Fulham. nothing against them.
I don't like Fulham because of the fact that they're just weird. And it's a weird place to go to.
It never used to be though. No man's for them.
Yeah. Really?
I've been going to the
There's a lot of Rangers fans who've got Fulham in the family.
Obviously, they get brandished the titles, but trust me, Fulham.
No, I know.
It was never like that in the early 80s.
But that's more a recent thing, though, Dave, really. I mean, Fulham fans years ago, they would have been more South London based as well, wouldn't they?
To be fair, I was on their books as a youth player, so we had games at Banstead on a Saturday morning. We'd go back to the cottage in the afternoon, and they'd have like 3,500-4,000 crowds.
Yeah.
A bumper crowd for them there was 6,000-7,000 in the afternoon three. And a lot of their fan base used to be Chelsea that didn't bother going to away games. That's how it sort of was for a bit of time. But I always had a little soft spot for them.
Yeah. That's similar to Rangers and Brentford. My dad used to go Rangers one week, Brentford the next, in them days, like in the 60s. And then
Steve Berriman did that. Jerry
Francis.
Go to Brentford one week, Rangers the next.
So I'm trying to think, when I grew up in Belfast, would I have gone to watch Linfield play? Absolutely not.
No.
It was Glentoran, and then Glentoran, and then Glentoran. Because I was talking to someone the other day, because people were saying to me, why did you have two clubs? It's like, well, I didn't have a choice because I grew up in Belfast and we didn't have EasyJet.
You could have gone to Crusaders or Distillery. Sorry.
Oh, no.
I had a great time at Crusaders, actually.
Yeah, good man.
Fantastic.
lovely club. Actually, my best friend is a Crusaders fan. Never mind. But listen, thank you for listening and sticking with us. It will get better. We will cover more historical things. We will, and you'll find out more about Dave, Martin, and Chris as we go along. I think people should get to know Chris more because he's a club historian, which means he can nice like things about me and all of us.
Honorary historian.
No, because listen, lads, listen. Between you, us three, he's got a PhD program. We could get mentioned. So it'd be nice if he plugged it in his PhD in the program now and again.
Well, now and again, I'll get it. Just a plug. Actually, there is. I think there's an article tomorrow on which is the oldest QPR home programme ever from 1897 that's in there tomorrow against Fulham.
This will go out after tomorrow, but you mean Saturday. But yes,
Saturday, I'm saying Saturday, because it's Sheffield Wednesday tomorrow. Yeah.
Well, we're going to end the podcast on the fact that hopefully we'll send Sheffield Wednesday down. Couldn't think of a nicer club to send down, by the way.
Can we just send it, just rise on a glass, or whatever's left of to Stanley?
Stanley.
To Stanley,
There you go.
Cheers.
Thank you for listening.
Lovely pint of Guinness, Dave. Thank you.
Cheers, Dave.
That was a QPR podcast on our history hit moments.